Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Slowly, slow my chair. The world waits for you, and your window of time will come shining through. Slowly, slow, don't rush, you know. It'll all come easy. There's some things you can't take back. No regrets for what you're gonna get. Need some thinking down the line. Slowly, slow, my darling. I'm here for you. And every stumble, every fall breaks my heart in two. I only want the best for you. And every step makes up the man, even though it takes a while. And God will always smile on you, my child. So have faith, just like the bird who feels the sun and sings before the dawn has come. Have faith.
Bismillah min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to today's episode of Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. This is the time you call your family, friends, everyone, frenemies to tune in, because you are definitely going to learn something new to bless you. This show, Everyday Muslim, a conjunction between Muslim Public Affairs Center and WFM, comes every Saturday to bless your soul. You will definitely be enriched. So inshallah, today we're going to be looking at the concept of istighfar and barakah, seeking forgiveness and unlocking divine blessings. Who better to take us on this journey other than our regular, one of our regular scholars, Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari. He is joining us virtually today. He's the Imam Director of Darul Sa'ada Islamic Center in Ota, Ogun State. He's also a lecturer. He's the current tutor at the Crescent University in Abeokuta, Ogun State. Imam, assalamu alaikum. How are you this rainy Saturday morning?
Alhamdulillah, it's the blessing of Allah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And it just, sort of coincides, or it wets the ground for my first question. I'd like us to dive right in, because inshallah today, hopefully we can, entertain a lot of calls so that they can interact with you on the subject, inshallah ta'ala. So, you know, the Quran makes an unambiguous link between istighfar and the descent of rain, the growth of wealth, and the expansion of families. In a society burdened by economic hardship and spiritual fatigue, how do we reclaim these divine promises through the neglected act of seeking forgiveness?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walam. All praises be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of the magnificent truly. We beseech His blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path till the day of reckoning. Alhamdulillah for the rain this morning. And rain is said to be one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without rain, we cannot just survive. Even, the animals too cannot survive. And that was why, let me quickly enter with this, just pop up now. That was why we saw a narration that told us that during the time of Nabiullah Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a drought, and when there is drought, no rain, what Islam teaches us is to seek rain. And seeking rain is to observe what we call Salatul Istisqa. Salatul Istisqa involves observing two raka'an, and in that raka'an will be filled with seeking Allah's forgiveness. You can see, seeking Allah's forgiveness. Because if one of the effects of sins and not seeking Allah's forgiveness is that Allah ceases his rain. Allah will not send down rain. Or he sends down rain, but it's not in abundance. Or he sends down rain and it will be destructive. Subhanallah. So, Nabiullah Sulaiman alayhi salam saw that there was no rain, and he went out in search of rain. As they were going, Salatul Istisqa mostly used to be observed in the outskirts of the town. So as they were going, at a point Nabiullah Sulaiman said, "It's enough, let's go back." Aren't we going to seek rain anymore? He said, no. Other creatures of Allah have sought Allah's forgiveness and sought rain on your behalf. What did he see? He saw an ant. He saw an ant lying on its back, raising its hands and legs towards the heavens and talking to Allah. And Allah blessed Nabiullah Sulaiman with understanding language of animals. So he heard the ant saying that, "Oh Allah, we can never be sufficient enough away from your rain. No matter how sufficient we may be, we can never be sufficient away from the need of your rain. Oh Allah, please send down your rain." You can see even ants are in need, and that's why I said even animals cannot survive without rain. And one of the things that make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seize his blessings is sins. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us when he was talking about issue of zakat, he said, "If you refuse to give zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize his rain and he will never give his rain. Lawla al-bahai. In fact, if not for animals, Allah would not give you water at all." So Allah himself not directed us to that verse you mentioned in your question. That's in Surah Nuh. The surah named after Nabiullah Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So he told his people, he said, Fakultu staghfiru rabbakum. I said to my people, staghfiru rabbakum. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Staghfiru rabbakum. Innahu kana ghaffara. Surely Allah is unforgiven, full of mercy. Yursili samaa alaykum midrara. Allah will send, you can do this, seek Allah's forgiveness, Allah will send down rain upon you in abundance. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And Allah will strengthen you with wealth, abundant wealth, still as a result of your istighfar. Allah will give you abundant wealth and abundant children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And Allah will grant you abundant trees, abundant fruits. Allah will grant you gardens because of you seeking Allah's forgiveness. So Allah's forgiveness is needed to be sought at all times for us to continue to grow in wealth, expand in family, take away economic hardship, and so on. In fact, in Surah Hud, what did Allah say? Allah mentioned the issue of istighfar twice. One in Surah in Ayah 3 and another one in Ayah 52. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wa an istaghfiru rabbakum. And it is for you to seek Allah's forgiveness. ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ And seek and return back to Him. Because it's a separate thing to say, Allah forgive me. And it's another thing for you to be resolved that I will not do that thing again. Those two things must come together. You are seeking Allah's forgiveness, then there must be resolution that I will not return back to this thing knowingly. Returning back to Allah, returning back to what Allah wants you to do. So you matirikum matana asana. If you can do this, Allah will grant you enjoyment. Whatever form of enjoyment, whatever form of ease, whatever form of comfort you seek, you need from Allah. Whatever form of intervention you need from Allah, Allah will grant you for you to enjoy your life. This is talking about this worldly life, because Allah said, "Ila ajalin musamba." Till a certain time. We are in this world for till a certain time, and we will have to live at a particular time. But for that period that will be here, we need Allah. We need Allah to come to our assistance, come to our aid, and ease our fears. You've been seeking job for how long? You've not gotten job. How much have you made use of istighfar? You've been seeking children. You've not gotten children. How much have you been seeking Allah's forgiveness? You've been seeking economic relief. You want stability in your business activities and so on. Have you been seeking Allah's forgiveness? Don't you know that this is what is causing the hindrance for you to get to where you're actually going? Allah said, every possessor of honor will be granted honor, will be granted bounty, great bounty from Allah as a result of seeking istighfar. But wa in tawallaw, if you refuse to seek istighfar, فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ كَبِيرٍ I fear for you the punishment of a great day. May Allah not make us see such punishment. Some people went to a scholar, Hassan al-Basri. He one complained of having his animals die, no water, this and that. He said, go and seek istighfar. Another one went, complained of economic hardship. He said, go and seek istighfar. Another person went, talked about not having children. He also said, go and seek istighfar. His students now intervened. They said, three different illness, and you gave one single cure to everything. How is that possible? People came with different complaints, and you gave them one single solution. He said, it is not me, it is Allah that gave the solution. They said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. So, and he quoted that verse in Surah to know. Do you know that even our physical prowess as a man, the way you need to act in your sexual intimacy to boost your strength?
Hello, I lost you.
Perseverance over your activities in general. Do you know you need istighfar? What is our evidence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Hud, Ayah 52. When Nabilah Hud himself was talking to his people, you know what they said? He said, "Wa ya qawmi istaghfiru rabbakum." Oh, my people, seek Allah's forgiveness. Thumma tubu ilayhi. And return back to Him. A requisite and important reconciliation you need to have with Allah. If you can do this, yursilu as-samaa'a alaykum midrara. Allah will send down rain to you in abundance. Wa yazidukum quwwatan ila quwwatikum. Allah will strengthen you, give you more power. He will grant you more power to the power you have. Powers could come in various forms. It could be physical strength, like that of what you need in your sexual intimacy, what you need for your daily activities, and that one, it could be power. And power could be political power. Power could be economic power. Power could come in different forms, all attached to you doing what? Seeking Allah's forgiveness.
SubhanAllah, you know, when you spoke about seeking forgiveness and doing it as often as possible, we have a lesson, we have a lesson to learn from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he was a man free of sin, you know, yet he sought forgiveness over 70 times a day as recorded in books of hadith. What lesson was he passing to a generation that would one day be drowning in heedlessness? SubhanAllah. You know, what does this example teach us about leadership, humility, and renewal? How can we relate that single act or constant istighfar that he did, and you know, we have that record to that we've read, SubhanAllah, but are we applying it to our lives? How can we better our situation?
Do you know that the Prophet didn't just do it? He even recommended that we do it every day. He said we should seek forgiveness from Allah. We should seek Allah's forgiveness every day. No. One of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ is for us to say Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi 100 times in a day. No. One of the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ is for us to say what we call Sayyidul Istighfar every day. What is Sayyidul Istighfar? It is regarded as the leader of all forms of seeking forgiveness. And it is part of the morning adhkar and evening adhkar the Prophet ﷺ gave to us. And that's Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant. Adib being time permits me. If I explain what is right inside Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta, you would be marveled. That is this what we are saying? This is even enough as dua. This is what the Prophet ﷺ has left us with. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi, La ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum wa atubu ilayh. You only need to say four of this. Just four. If you say four of this, Allah wipes off your sin. And whatever you ask after, it is granted. There's something we call At-Takhliyatu Qabla At-Tahliyah. At-Takhliyatu Qabla At-Tahliyah. That is, seeking forgiveness from Allah before you ask anything. This is a very good approach to ask Allah something and your dua will be accepted. Let me give us a quick example. Yeah. And this happened during the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, being a notable hadith scholar, was working on a hadith and he needed just one single hadith. He had been looking for it. And he decided to travel
Sorry to cut in. You know, SubhanAllah, those listening today, actually for those of us that haven't even been in a class where we are learning, we won't appreciate what you meant by he's looking for one hadith. Because, I mean, just type it on Google. What hadith are you looking for? If you can just digress a bit to explain what it meant to possess one hadith at that, you know, just one hadith at that time, how much, you know,
how difficult it will be.
Now, just to digress.
No Google, no ChatGPT, no whatever tool anyone is using now. He needed to look for that hadith. He needed somebody that collected it directly from the Prophet or collected from somebody that collected directly from the Prophet. And he had to find out a single town that is said to have a lot of scholars of hadith. Just because of one hadith. Just like saying somebody traveling by foot from here to UK. Just because he wanted to look for one hadith. These are efforts scholars have made to gather those books of hadith we are seeing today. And somebody somewhere will just feel that, you know, what is the book of hadith? Do you know the effort that has been put together before such can be found? May Allah reward them all abundantly. So he went on his way. He got to that town very late, at a late hour. He went to the masjid to pray. After praying, he felt that, well, I'm a visitor, I'm a stranger in this town. I don't know anywhere. Probably let me sleep here in the masjid. And the masjid keeper, the caretaker of the masjid, came to him, "Oh, old man, you cannot sleep here. Get out." He said, "I'm a visitor here, and I don't have any place. You can't just sleep in the masjid." You know, when he was becoming so arrogant and becoming so fierce, Imam Ahmad stood up, went out to the corridor of the masjid, and felt, "Well, I've left the masjid. No. Could I just stay at the corridor of the masjid and pass the night?" He said, "No, even the corridor of the masjid, you can stay here." So, and he started ranting, shouting, raising his voice against this elderly man. So, a baker who happens to be a Muslim was at the opposite of the masjid. He was hearing the shout, the noise, and rushed to the masjid to know what's going on in the masjid. And he saw the mosque keeper and that elderly man, which no one knew who he was. And he never introduced himself. Look at humbleness, humility. He never introduced him that, "Don't you know that I am Ahmed bin Hanbal?" He never said so. He kept his identity. So when the other man came, he said, "Why don't just allow him?" He said, "You can take him to your house and entertain him. He can't stay here." And he shut the door. And you know what Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal did? He said, "Oh Allah, please forgive him for what he has done." Imagine you read curses upon him. Somebody of my status, this one treated me like this. Oh Allah, deal with him. But he took the example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What Prophet went through at Ta'if, and he still sought Allah's forgiveness for them. Imam Ahmed also sought forgiveness for this brother. Then the baker took him to his house. He entertained him and everything, gave him a very good room to sleep. He enjoyed himself. But during the night, that's where I'm going, he heard the baker making dua. And he noticed that before he makes any supplication, he will seek Allah's forgiveness first. Some said what he used to say was, "Astaghfirullah al-Azim al-Ladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Hayy al-Qayyum wa atubu ilayh." Some said what he used to say was, "Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." Either of the two, there are forms of seeking forgiveness. He will seek Allah's forgiveness, then will ask Allah what he wants. Imam Ahmad heard this and he came out. The baker felt that probably he had disturbed his sleep with this. He said, "No, you didn't disturb me, but I noticed something. Before you ask Allah anything, you've been seeking forgiveness. The moment you seek forgiveness, then you ask Allah something." He said, "Yes, that's the approach I've been using." He said, "What have you noticed since the time you've been doing this?" He said, "What I notice is that there is no dua I ask Allah except that he grants it. Anytime I use that approach, anything I ask Allah, Allah grants it, except one dua." What's that one dua? He said, "I've been asking Allah that there is this famous scholar, a notable scholar, that I've learned a lot from him, from his work, from his knowledge, and I wish to meet him one-on-one in my lifetime. But that dua has not been accepted." He now said, "Who's that scholar?" He said, "Is with the name Sheikh Ahmed bin Hanbal." He said, "Oh, so it is your own dua that Allah wants to accept that made him drag Ahmed bin Hanbal, dragged him on the floor right into your house." Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That is the effect of seeking Allah's forgiveness. Even in our dua. We call it at-takhliyatu qabla at-tahliya. This is how important it is we need to always seek Allah. So, and you talked about being a leader.
No.
Do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet something sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so vital in the Quran, which is a surah that actually announced the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which surah is this? Surah An-Nasr, which we call إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ. What did Allah say? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ. When the bounty of Allah arises, when it arrives, when it comes, when the help of Allah, victory of Allah comes to you, what do you notice? وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That is when you see people coming into the deen of Allah in multitudes. This is not just about the deen of Allah. It also applies to our individual lives. When, before you make it, before you hammer, like they say, before you arrive, nobody will identify with you. But the moment you arrive, you have become something. You have become an authority.
Member.
You have become a leader.
No.
You have, give me that word now.
No, you're a family member of everybody.
So you become a family member of everybody.
Everybody remembers you as their distant cousin.
You see them coming to you in multitudes. It is not you. It is that help of Allah they see. Because if anybody is not asking you anything, they not notice the help of Allah. And at the same time, if people are not envious of you, they have not observed that bounty of Allah in you. Because the Prophet also said, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. Everyone Allah blesses, everyone Allah has showered his bounty upon, would be envied. Will be shown, they'll be envious of him. So what did Allah say the Prophet should do at this stage? Those of you that Allah has blessed with various wealth, with various positions, with various things, numerous things. At this time, you have companies, people work under you. Make good use of what Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, what should you do? He said, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. You should always glorify the praise of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. You should always glorify the praise of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Because He is the one that accepts your repentance. Because even if you do not commit sin, people might commit sin on your behalf. Even at that stage, you found yourself, you need to seek Allah's forgiveness at all times. It was at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she told us that it was this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started the following adhkar. Anytime the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets with people and he wants to end the meeting, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. In response to what Allah called his attention to. Number two, the Prophet will not go for ruku' or go for sujood, except that he says, Subhanaka Allahumma rabbana wa bihamdik. There's slight difference in the two. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma gfirli. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma gfirli. That is Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Glory be to you, our Lord. And praises be to you, our Lord. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma gfir li. Oh Allah, please forgive my sins. Some of us do think that our dua, adhkar on ruku' is just limited to Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. No, it's not only that. The Prophet seeks Allah's forgiveness there. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. Allahumma kfirli. Even on sujood, the same thing. The prayer does this. Because the more you seek forgiveness, the more the bounty of Allah, the more the barakah of Allah, the more the favor of Allah upon you.
Subhanallah, alhamdi, subhanallah, azim. We're going to take a quick break. I need to sip some water. You need to sip water as well. Subhanallah, you've been speaking for a bit. We'll be right back. And once we get back, inshallah, we'll open the phone lines and take reactions from the audience. We'll be back shortly.
Masi sondele, masi sondele, pila no kolo, yelele.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Or more, you feel at peace inside and it'll open every door. That's the
purify your heart as much as possible, immerse your soul and your tongue, make your lips moist with making it to far to Allah, and He will expand your course for you. He will multiply your resources and your sustenance. Imam, jazakumullah khairan for, you know, this eye-opening session and soul-lifting session. I'd like us to move to the second aspect. We've talked about istighfar for a bit. Let's talk about barakah. It's usually confused with abundance. You know, when barakallahu fikum, you know, may Allah grant you increase and abundance. But what is the true meaning of barakah? And how can it be recognized? How do I know that my life is barakalized? You know, how do I know that I have barakah in my life? How do I know I have barakah in my home, in my earnings, in my time? Subhanallah.
I like that your grandma barakalized. And just like a word I also invented some time ago, barakafil.
No.
Is barakafil.
No.
Now, what is baraka? Most of us mention baraka, but we don't seem to understand what baraka is about. When we talk about baraka, it's beyond the single interpretation we give it as blessing. It's far beyond that. What is baraka? Baraka is kathratul khayr, dawamul khayr, nafu'ul khayr. What does this mean? This blessing of Allah that I'm seeking baraka upon,
no,
I want it to be a multitude. It should not just be the only one. I want it in multitudes.
Yeah.
That's number one. But there are some things that will be in multitudes but will not be beneficial. They may just be many like that. None is of benefit to you. Then, the second meaning of barakah is that you are seeking nafu al khayr. That this thing, O Allah, it should not just be a multitude, O Allah, make every bit of it beneficial for me. That's number two. And there are times as well, because Yorubas will say, Igitoto ki benibu, a good tree does not last in the forest.
We need it for paper, we need it for our furniture, we need it for...
Yes, exactly. When they say that, this tree is good, then people will quickly rush to it and bring it down.
No.
So, there are sometimes that bounty may be in multitudes, may be beneficial, but short-lived. If you seek Allah's barakah on it, you are seeking the third request. that, oh Allah, as much as I want it to be in multitudes, and every bit of it to be beneficial to me, oh Allah, make it long lasting. That is Kawamul Khair. Don't make it short-lived. Let me see it at all times till the end of my time. This is Barakah. Now imagine you have a car and you say, Barakallahu Fee. May Allah, let's use that as example for us to understand it. So, Barakallahu Fee. Oh Allah, put barakah in this. What it means is that, oh Allah, don't make it a single car for me. I want it in multitudes. And every aspect of this car, every aspect of it, and the ones that will come after it, oh Allah, make every bit of it beneficial. And oh Allah, please don't let it short live. Let it live long. For me to enjoy this blessing of yours. Now imagine you say it on your wife, you say it on your children. It's part of what some of us have neglected, this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The moment you marry a new wife or you have a new ride, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us something. No. And what's that? He said, you place your hand. If it's a wife, you place your hand on her forelock here. That is Laila to Zifar, that night, your first night together. When you observe the two rakah that is recommended, you place your hand on her forehead like this. And if it is a ride, then you place your hand on the head. If it's a car, for example, you place your hand right on the steering there. And you say, Allah, Bismillah, I begin this journey in the name of Allah. I begin this journey seeking help from Allah. I begin this journey seeking barakah from Allah. I begin this journey seeking protection from Allah. These are the meanings of Bismillah. We don't just know the meaning. We say Bismillah. These are the meanings. Then you now say Allahumma. Barik li fiha. Oh Allah, put abundant barakah in this for me. If it's a wife, it means put abundant barakah in this woman for me. If it's a ride, oh Allah, put abundant barakah in this ride for me. Allahumma, oh Allah, inni as'aluka min khayriha. I ask you of her goodness. Wa khayri ma jabalta alay. And goodness of everything associated with her. وَعَوْضُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّهَا. Oh Allah, I seek your protection away from our evil. وَشَرِّ مَا جَبَلْتَ عَلَيْهِ. And the evil of everything that's associated with her. Some people, it is marriage he got into that devoured his life, that described everything about him. Now, if you make this dua, then you are protected by Allah. But a whole lot of us, did not even do it, either being ignorant of the dua, or probably being carried away by some other things. No. If you've not done it before, at least you can do it now.
It's not too late.
You can call that, you know, she's right beside you, just tell her, now we've learned something, just place your hand on her and say it, you know?
No.
Say it and make that dua.
If you don't,
so that Allah will,
you know,
will put abundant barakah in her for it. Now?
Now, if they don't know the dua, if someone is hearing this for the first time, they can refer to the fortification of Muslims. He's not Muslim, and the dua
exactly.
is there. Naam.
Exactly.
Naam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. As we wind down, for a struggling Muslim today dealing with anxiety, stagnation, or even despair, what immediate steps would you advise? What kind of steps or immediate steps can this person take to start living a life touched by mercy and the barakah of Allah? You know, quick, easy steps. I didn't want to miss this question before time runs out because, you know, it's really
saying,
practical.
This will lead me to something very vital.
No.
And that is what we call evil eye. evil eye is real, as the prophet said it. Evil eye is real, as the prophet said it. Evil eye could even some. Own personal affliction. He afflicted himself with his own evil eye. He afflicted his things, his blessings, his property with his evil eye, and he did not know.
Wow.
He afflicted his own wife, her own husband, with her evil eye, and she or she did not know.
Subhanallah.
You bought a new thing, somebody with evil eye saw it and he said, oh, this thing is beautiful. No matter the comment the person brings over it or brings on it, that thing will go bad if that evil eye is connected. And what leads to evil eye? Envy. The greatest point of envy is evil eye, because envy is from the heart. It is disease of the heart. And when it gets intense, it gets connected. It gets translated into the eye through shaitan. One happened during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a particular companion, very, very beautiful. I will not say it's handsome, because you know in literature, to explain extreme beauty of the man, you say he's beautiful.
No.
The man was beautiful. And someone saw him. He was at the river bank. He wanted to clean up, wanted to bathe in the river. And he removed his clothes. As he removed his clothes, and someone else saw him and said, oh God, how can someone be this beautiful? And you know what happened? Immediately the man fell on the floor. He passed out. They did all they could to wake him, they could not. And they rushed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, did any of you say anything? He said, nobody, it was only so so person that said, how beautiful. The Prophet said, how can some people be so interested in killing their brothers? In destroying their brothers? What was that person meant to say? Barakallahu fi. And that was what was missing. Now, some of us in the midst of, we are girls, we can bathe together. We are boys, we can, we expose our nudity to people. That was where some people got their problem.
Subhanallah.
Now, because you have taken off what is needed in your life, that barakah that need to come in has been as subhanallah.
Quite scary.
We can go on and on like that. If I would add a case that a husband just saw how beautiful the wife is and just said, oh, you're so beautiful. Meeting, seeing her for the first time after Nika. So you are deep beautiful. And that was all. The next thing the wife would see was that she started having skin irritations and this thing. She used all medications, nothing went off. It was evil eye from the husband. And the husband did not know that he had evil eye.
Allah save us and protect us.
Something. Or anybody sees anything on you that is good, don't just allow them pass a comment and just say it is good. Tell them that you say Barakallahu fi. That is the antidote of evil eye. Barakallahu fihi. Because what? Or you say Allahumma barik or any other thing like that. Because what's the intent of evil eye? For that thing to come to an end, to get destroyed. And look at the interpretation of Baraka that I gave the other time. It's the opposite of what the intention of evil eye. So Baraka negates evil eye. And anytime you have anything, no matter the comment anybody passes, tell them they should say Allah to bless it. If the person cannot say Barakallahu fi, the person will say, oh, Allah, God should bless it for you.
Mm.
Or say Barakallahu fi. Mm. If you approach your things, what Allah has blessed you, you saw your house as beautiful, say, Allah Akbar, this is mine. Mm. Say Barakallahu fi.
Mm.
MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. You say Barakallahu fi. Seek Allah's baraka. In case there is evil eye with you that you don't know, so that you negate it.
No.
This is a very important lesson for we Muslims.
No.
Because, you see, the challenges a lot of people are going through today, you know, is rooted to this.
So they don't even need to take your name to any babalawo, subhanallah. They don't even need to make any journey. There's no
need. No, they don't need to do anything.
No need to tie anything anywhere.
They don't need to tie anything or do it. No. But just, and that's why sometimes even a situation happened, someone narrated a story where he wanted to board a taxi and that eventually he didn't use a taxi. And a new taxi came, brand new, and he got interested in that one and said, okay, I want to join this. And all of a sudden, the other taxi man that he refused to employ service got angry, and he was furious and was just looking at that car. Mm. And all of a sudden, a new car stopped working.
Allahu Akbar.
A new car.
Allahu Akbar. Imam, I need to cut in here. There's a message. We got a message on WhatsApp, and it's important because the person needs you to spell out this dua again. So maybe at this point, you need to take it one by one. So the question is, please, can the Sheikh explain further the prayer he just mentioned, that the husband should pray holding the new wife's forehead? Should the wife not also pray for the husband, because every one of us were under the effect of shaitan?
I was about asking which of the duas, because I've mentioned so many duas today.
Yeah, this particular last one.
Okay, the one of husband and wife and the vehicle.
Bismillah.
He said, Bismillah. I take it again.
No.
He said, Bismillah. Allahumma barik li fiha. Then you now say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayriha wa khayri ma jabaltaha alayhi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma jabaltaha alayhi. Another lesson you have learned from the show today, from the program today, is that everything Allah has granted you, always say Barakallahu Fihi.
No.
That's another dua.
No.
Always say Barakallahu Fihi. Your children, always say Barakallahu Fihi. Huh?
No.
Your wife, Barakallahu Fi. Your husband, your car,
your
house,
work, your business.
Everything.
No.
Avoid issue of ruqya.
No.
These are statements you utter to avoid you being undergoing ruqya sessions.
Preventive measures. That short phrase is a preventive measure, and we all need to
Very strong preventive
measure. Imam, you need to send us this dua, the Arabic, the transliteration, and the meaning, subhanAllah, so we can post it on our social media handles for people to refer. So this person that sent in the question, inshallah, I'll just head on to our social media handles, Everyday Muslim on IG, Facebook, or X, and inshallah, this dua will be waiting for you. So, Imam,
this time around, my charges will be in dollars, or should it be pounds?
Imam, think about it very well. The Jannah account is swelling, no. MashaAllah. Let me just quickly drop this last question. I apologize. I couldn't open the phone lines. I promised to open, but astaghfirullah to really, may Allah forgive us. Let me just quickly slot this in. You know, this, what would it be if a listener is just joining us right now? What is that essential mindset, that one thing you would want them to walk away with regarding istighfar and divine blessings?
What I will tell you, is that for every day, you should always seek Allah's forgiveness. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Using Sayyidul Istighfar, Allahumma anta Rabbi, Church Islam and Muslim.
No.
Say Astaghfirullah wa Atubu Ilayhi 100 times. Say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times. Subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa la akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These are things, we call them tasbihat. They are like if you get drowned in water, what do? You swim out.
Mm.
So, swimming out of your problems is you engaging in tasbihat and istighfar.
Mm.
Seeking Allah's forgiveness, saying testament of tasbihat like that, subhanallah, you are swimming out of your problems.
No.
You are swimming out of your problems, but may Allah make it easy for you. Mm. In fact, when you get yourself into an issue, you find yourself in a calamity that's so, subhanallah, why am I into this?
Mm.
The first thing you ask yourself is, what is it that Allah wants me to do that I'm not doing?
Hmm. Where did I cross the line? What have I missed out now?
What is it that Allah wants me to do that I'm not doing? If there is none in that regard, then what is it that Allah doesn't want me to do that I'm doing?
Hmm.
If there is none in that regard, you are free, then ask yourself, is there somebody that is doing something that Allah is not pleased with that I am together with?
Hmm.
That one can affect you. Look at the case of Sayyid Nabiullah Yunus. He was the one Allah was angry with. And the ship was about to capsize because of him. Until he was thrown into the water. He jumped into the water himself. Mm-hmm. Now, don't worry, don't bother. I am the cause. He jumped into the water and the ship got balanced again.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people like that around you that offending Allah. Allah is not pleased with them, and the breeze is getting to you.
And you are whining and dining with them.
So the breeze is getting to you. You need to watch that too.
Hmm.
So as you keep seeking istighfar, you tell people around you to also seek istighfar. Hmm. May Allah forgive every one of us and accept our repentance.
Amin, ya Rabbi. Jazakumullah khair. And Imam, so please, as we get off now, I'll just expect the background from you, this dua dropping, so we can share with our listeners on our social media handles. It will bless someone. It will benefit someone. So you've just blessed a home, Imam. You just blessed a home. And you know what that means. You know how much baraka will be entering your account because they've done the right thing. They will teach their children to do the right thing in their children's children. Allahu Akbar. I can only but envy you in the positive
baraka. I'm multitasking at the moment, actually. When I'm done with the program I am in, I will, inshallah, send it.
Inshallah.
So because I left the program to attend to this, and I will be returning to the program now.
Jazakallah khair. May Allah accept this from you as ibadah, make it very heavy on the scale of good deeds and whatever errors we've committed, you and I. May Allah forgive us and overlook it from our records, remove it from our records, and accept it from us as ibadah. Jazakallah khair to all of our listeners, and thanks for tuning in. Why not join us same time next week when we bring you another beautiful package of Everyday Muslim. Until then, we say masalam, but try to catch up on all our previous episodes on our IG, YouTube as well. We've uploaded all our previous episodes there. So catch up with us on Everyday Muslim on all different social media handles. I leave you with Maher Zain, the power, that power of istighfar, the power of praising Allah. It just opens unbelievable bounties for you. Inshallah, ta'ala, we'll see you next week. Masalam.
Masi sondele, masi sondele, pela no kolo, yelele.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Or more, you feel at peace inside and it'll open every door. That's the power of remembering.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah.